He is 16 years of age and is a junior, a cadet at Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California. And RC, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can.
And thank you for being on our program. You are at a military academy, which is pretty much like a college preparatory school. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Bradley Military Academy is academically accredited as a college prep high school and is also a preparatory academy for military training at the college level, which would be West Point or Annapolis or the Air Force Academy or officers training, either with the Marine Corps or with the United States Army.
Now, tell me what is CPAC?
Yes, sir. CPAC. CPAC is actually the title of the commander of Pacific Military Academy cadets. It's an associated body of military academy cadets, and we have proposed to not only the administration of our academy, as well as the Board of Commandants, but also to a local congressman, that they enact some proviso for hardship cases, military academy cadets. I'm a little bit nervous.
Well, you're doing fine, but we have to back up just a little bit. You are intent on leaving the military academy and going to West Point, right?
Yes, sir.
And what eventually do you want to do?
I want to obviously be commissioned as an officer at West Point and then go to airborne training at Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
And you want to be in the airborne, right?
Yes, sir. I want to particularly join 101st Airborne. It's very
famous unit.
Yes, sir. It's probably the best unit the Army has.
But you also say that you have family considerations.
Yes, sir. There are a lot of cadets who have families that may need them for financial support or need them for emotional support. And so what we are asking Congress to do is allow us to go into airborne as officers. But if, you know, the best way I can put it is, if we're in combat, if we're about to be dropped in combat, and, it gets a little hairy, that's all I'm saying.
And what do you mean if it gets a little hairy?
Well, if you're familiar with airborne, these are airborne troops.
They parachute into action.
Yes, sir. They're generally dropped behind enemy lines, and from there they engage in a guerrilla tactic fighting. And so you do have to enter the combat zone by way of parachute, and yeah, that's a little bit hairy. If there's a lot of ground fire, it's just a little hairy. So we want the option of being able to say, okay, this is a little more than I bargained for, so I want to release myself from the shoot line and sit back down and just take the transport back to base.
Because you're afraid that if you get killed in action...
Well, not even killed in action, but if... I don't know if you're familiar with parachuting, but you're jumping out of a plane and you're with a parachute. It's pretty high up. I mean, you could be, 700 feet, 1,000 feet, depending upon what the mission is, and I really want to do it. It's the thing I've always wanted to do, but it might, at the right when I'm supposed to jump, I might probably change my mind and want to just take the transport back to base. And we do want to have that option.
All right. If I got you right, you are intent on going to West Point, correct?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay. Be commissioned as an officer, go to airborne training at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, become an airborne trooper, right?
That's correct, sir.
Go, I would imagine, to Iraq?
That's my hope, yeah. I do want to go to Iraq. I know our country needs us there.
But if, when you are flying over the combat zone and you are ready to jump, it gets a little too much for you, you want the option of returning?
Well, but because my father, who owns a tool company in San Leandro, California, needs a plant manager and is going to put me in plant management training. So I want the option if I'm ready to jump, and it might be a hot landing zone. It's just really not what I bargained for at that time. Then I can tell the my non-com or not the non-com. I can tell my major or whoever. Okay, I'm going to sit this one out.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with R.C. Collins. He's a junior cadet at Bradley Military Academy. He's a member of an organization called Pacific Military Academy Cadets. It's like an associated group of cadets at military academies who also are needed by their families for financial support, and they want the option of being able to, in combat, go to whoever your superior officer is, correct?
Yes, sir. If I'm commissioned a captain, that would be my major, my battalion major.
And say to him that I'm not, I want to go back to the States?
Well, I want to be able to reserve the right to kind of get my head together, go back to base, and just, think about what it is that they're asking me to do, because, again, ever since I was a kid, I always dreamed of being 101st Airborne. When I read the story of them at Bastogne and how they, fought off the Germans and when they were encircled, I always said, okay, I want to be airborne. But I also realized that, it's natural, it's human to chicken out and just go, I've really kind of changed my mind. I don't want to do this. And so I want to have that option.
Well, you're talking about being a 101st Airborne Trooper. Those guys are hardcore, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, what is the likelihood of a guy going through airborne training saying he's chickening out?
Well, no. It only has to do with those of us who have families. My father has started up two tool companies in San Leandro, and he needs a plant manager right now. And so I've got to weigh that against, father wants me back in San Leandro, but I told him that I want to go to Iraq and be in the airborne. And I don't know, I want to serve my country, but suppose it gets a little hairy, and at that time, then I want the option to go to my battalion, commander and say, I'll sit this one out and just head back to base with the transport.
All right, I don't even know if they're going to let you do that, right?
Well, that's why we're applying to Congress, because they can pass a law and the president's got to do what they told him.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. RC's talking about the 101st Airborne, one of the most distinguished units in the history of the United States military. And when he mentioned Bastogne, that is the town that the 101st Airborne held against an encirclement of Germans. And they were finally, of course, relieved by other American soldiers. But it's a long, distinguished history, isn't it?
It absolutely is, sir. And not only World War II, but Vietnam, the Gulf War, and everything.
1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back on the Phil Hendry Show. Military cadet at the Bradley Military Academy, which is a college preparatory high school, also a military academy, preparing these young men for eventually going to West Point or Annapolis. And your goal is West Point.
That's correct. Yeah.
And then leaving West Point, going to airborne training, and going to hopefully Iraq to join other airborne troops. But you want to have
Basically, what we want is an out clause provided by the Congress saying if it gets a little, you're flying over a hot landing zone and everything, and you're looking down at the ground and, you may want to rethink your options. Because if father has a plant that he...
Your father has a tool plant. He needs a plant manager, and he's going to promise to put you through plant management training?
That's correct, yes, sir. So if I decide that I don't want to jump, what we are looking for is a totally legal and very easy way to do this, which would be a paragraph in the military code which says that you can think about it, sit it out, go back to base with the transport, and maybe clear your mind about some things.
I don't know how efficient an army would be, though, you know?
Well, we're just asking this for, like in my case, you know, people who have financial obligations with their family.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Aubrey. Aubrey, go ahead.
Yes, I am a retired captain with the 1088th Combat Engineers, aligned with the 256th Infantry Brigade. And
that wasn't what
he's asking for.
Was that airborne?
Pardon me?
That wasn't airborne, right?
No, we were mechanized infantry.
They're infantry and engineers, building things, bridges, Aubrey, right?
Well, you have construction engineers and you got combat engineers.
I got you, okay.
We also have light combat engineers that also jump.
But I'm talking about airborne.
Okay, you're talking about your crack infantry division that goes in before anybody else does.
Right, yeah.
Once you have made, if you're in a college prep school, and let's say you become an officer, and you want that option to get out, you take an oath to serve your country.
Yes, sir.
I served my country for 21 years, and I'm doggone proud of it. And for you to ask for some type of option like that, well, in the middle, if they're shooting bullets, it's going to get hairy, I want out. Hot shot, you need to make your mind up right now if you're going to work for your daddy or you're going to work for the country.
Well, why not?
You can't have your cake and eat it, too.
Well, yes, sir, but why not have the option to be able to say, you know what, sir, if you're my major, you're my battalion command, you know what, I think I'll sit this one out because my father does need the plant manager.
You're in the middle of a war, though.
I think you're living in a fantasy world because that's not going to ever happen.
Well, we're just asking for the option. I'm not saying it's going to happen. But let's say it gets a little...
like I said,
what are you laughing about?
What you want to do. You want to serve your country? There are a lot of guys that are dead now that would look at you and laugh in your face and probably slap you.
Well, wait a second. If they're dead now, they probably would have wanted to have to sit one out. And then they would not got dead. And
well, wait a minute, man. Have a little respect for these guys.
No, but what I'm saying is, if they had the option to think it over...
Wait, what kind of a military would we have if you've got...
Their option.
Yeah.
Their option was to serve their country, do or die.
Yes, sir.
I was Army, especially, I'm speaking for the Navy, I'm speaking for the Air Force, I'm speaking for the Marines.
All I'm talking about is the airborne. Just, that's all. I mean, the engineers, you got to do what you're told.
I'm speaking for all military personnel, present, past, and future.
What if it gets too hairy?
Hey, it's always going to get hairy. They're always going to shoot bullets at you. In other words, if I'm going to go into combat, don't shoot me. I'll shoot you.
Well, let me ask a question, R.C.
Oh, come on, man. Get real.
Let me ask a question, R.C. What would you say to your commander?
It's a simple thing. The wording can differ in the military code, but basically, Major, I'm going to sit this one out, but I don't want you to worry. When you get back to base, you know, what I can do is I can help out. Get some stew going.
What are you talking about?
I'll tell you what. If General Patton was still alive today, he'd slap you like he did that guy because he was stressed out from fatigue in combat.
That guy deserved to be slapped because he was a coward.
And it sounds like you want to be a coward, too. And I'd slap you in the face, too.
Are you kidding me? What's a coward?
No, I'm not. No. I'm not. I'm telling you like it is. You're going to be in the military... You're there to serve.
What if I said I wanted to go back and make stew for the soldiers when they got back?
Why don't you end this conversation, go to work for your dad's plant, and be done with it?
No, because my dream has always been to be the airborne.
Wait a minute.
All right, if you're going to be airborne, then you're going to serve.
Brother, airborne, these guys are top-notch fighters. They're paratroopers. They are guerrilla fighters. They are, you know, RC, they're not the kind of guys that get to the door of the plane and go, you know what, I think I'll sit this one out.
It ain't going to happen.
Sir, I will tell you that I'm ready to eat my own guts for my country.
You're fantasizing.
No, I'm not. I'm ready
You want an option.
Sometime.
You want an option when you walk up to that front door. Oh, I don't want to go yet. I've got some things to clear up my head first. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going
to
happen.
So everybody else gets to do it, but I don't. What about...
What do you mean everybody else?
I'm saying I'm ready to eat my own guts for my country sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yes, sir.
All right, make up your mind what you want to do.
Exactly. That's what you got to do. All right, Aubrey, thank you very much for your words of wisdom and experience. 1-800-449-8686. I just don't know, RC, if what kind of a military we would have if...
Well, no, Mr. Hendry, I think where the other gentleman was, and I can help him out, because he sounded confused.
No, I think he was very clear. I mean, the man's a 21-year veteran.
No, what I'm saying is I'm not saying that everybody in the military gets to do that. I'm simply saying I want to be in the airborne more than anything, okay?
And, well, that's what you're saying, man. But
wait a minute. I want to be airborne, but you got to understand something. Airborne's totally different from what other soldiers do. They jump out of planes and everything. And you'll get to the door of the plane, like you said, and maybe, yeah, you'll say, okay, I'm not ready right now, because what if I jumped and I wasn't ready? And then a parachute comes down, and there's nothing but a limp, you know, there's just shorts. What if a parachute came down and all that was attached to it were shorts and a helmet?
You mean you'd get killed? The enemy would shoot you as you're coming down?
Yes, sir.
That is the risk that paratroopers take. That's why they're so good.
No, but I understand that. But my father needs a plant manager. There's a lot of guys whose parents need them. They have farms and ranches. A friend of mine, his parents have a ranch.
Well, what is he going to do? Is he going to go to the ranch and work there?
They may need him. Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Tom, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
You're training. You want to go to West Point?
Yes, sir.
And you want to be an officer?
That's correct, yeah.
So what kind of message are you sending to the men you wish to lead if you don't want to go off that airplane?
Well, but see, I wouldn't be in command of that operation.
It doesn't matter. You're an officer. You're in a position of leadership. Those men are looking up to you to lead them off that damn airplane.
But I'd explain it to them that I have this option that...
Well, why is it different for you as compared to them?
Because, like I said, a lot of us need, you know, this one kid that I know, his parents have a ranch that needs to
What about the men you're leading?
He's in the bunkhouse in the summer, that's all.
Does that make you any better than them?
No, it doesn't make me better.
Well, here's the deal.
I would say to them, I'm going to sit this one out, but you guys are way better than me. I would let them know they're better than me.
You're going to say to your men, I'm sitting this one out, but you guys are better than me.
Well, not better. I mean, I don't think anybody's better than me, but I'd say, I'm sitting this one out, but you guys are brave.
Well, here's the thing,
them from the plane.
Whether you're jumping out of an airplane or the Marines are jumping off a landing craft hitting the beach, it's the same thing. You're walking into certain death.
Well, at this particular point...
And that's part of the job,
well,
dude.
I have to ask you...
part of the dedication you need to find.
Well,
that's what you want to do.
I do need to ask you this time, sir. Are you military?
Yes, I was. I was in the Marine Corps for 4 years.
Were you airborne?
He was a Marine.
No. They're not airborne.
They got Marine pirates.
Like I said, what does it matter whether you're walking off a landing craft on a beach that's armed with enemy or
you're
jumping out of a plane?
Because you can burrow into the sand, but if you're jumping out of a plane, the first thing that's going to get shot is your you-know-what.
Who is, like a lot of young men, in a military academy, wanting to go to West Point. Eventually, he wants to go into the U.S. Army as a airborne trooper, and that, in his mind, means the 101st Airborne out of Fort Bragg, North Carolina, but you also are needed by your father in his tool business.
Yes, sir, a tool and die business. And so.
Yeah, but let me just tell the audience. So you want the option of being able to pass on certain missions because you're afraid you're going to get killed?
No, I'm never going to be afraid I'm going to get killed. Never.
Well, then why would you say I want to sit this one out?
Just to get my head together and to think, okay, do I really want to do this or work in the tool and die business? That's all.
You're hearing these military veterans calling and saying there is no...
Yes, Mr. Henry, I understand. understand that. That's why we want to have the Congress pass.
Yeah, but you're asking the Congress to pass a law that says some of the men in the armed forces will be able to say, I want to pass on this jump because...
I'm not saying that I don't want to be a part of the mission, but I could go back to base on the transport and direct, you know, the men from there on the radio.
So you're going to be sitting back there telling them how to fight the battle, and you mentioned something about making them stew or soup?
Yes, sir. So while I'm making the stew, I could also be on the radio saying, okay, and, you know, I'd say I'm making stew right now, and when you get back.
All right, let me just talk to Bob. Bob, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Stew is not what's important. What's important is to have someone have your back and
that's
be
right.
covering for you. I was 82nd Airborne. I was 5th Special Forces. I served 2 tours in Vietnam. There was not a jump made in Vietnam.
Were you in the 101st?
He was in the 82nd.
I was with the pride of the Airborne, the 82nd.
He was with the, yeah. The.
Well, 101st
okay.
is better.
Wait a minute. They're both very good. The 82nd was at Normandy, too.
They was?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you would study a little military history, you would learn a little bit.
Well, I feel I would be more, sometimes, I'm not saying, but sometimes I could be better back at the base tidying up.
No, you don't get a choice. That's what you don't understand. It's not a choice. The choice you make is if you want to be airborne, then you go all the way. You don't say, well, I don't really want to do this one.
What do you mean you go
all
the way?
It's not a choice. You have brothers and you have people that you have to watch out for.
What
if you're not, if you're not watching out for them in the field, they don't need you back at base cooking them a soup. They have cooks that
right.
will cook soup.
But, sir, I'm saying, excuse me, if I got to the door and I said, okay, you know what, I'm going to maybe push the eject button on this one, go back to the base, sort mail, you know what I'm saying? That way I am contributing.
No, you're not contributing. You're doing something that somebody else was trained for, where you were trained to be a combat soldier
right.
to jump out of that plane.
Right, you were trained to be a soldier, not to sort mail.
Well,
okay.
We're going to try.
I would not want you watching my back. I would not want you covering for me because I couldn't trust you. Because I wouldn't know if you were thinking about going back and making a cake or something else. You need to have your mind in that.
No,
if you want to be airborne, then you need to commit yourself to be airborne, and that's it. Not
yes,
be
sir.
Thinking about going and sorting mail, not be thinking about making a cake, not be thinking about making stew, but doing what you're told to do, which is jump out of that plane and kill the enemy.
And I do want to do that, and I want to help America, especially in Iraq. But I said to one of the lawyers that's helping us draw up this provision in the military code, we could be back at base making bunks, you know, and...
Well, did you hear what the man said? You're trained, the 101st, the 82nd, these guys are highly specialized crack troops. What a waste of training, what a waste of money to have that cat go back to the base and make bunks.
Exactly.
Well, I wouldn't do it every time.
It doesn't matter if you do it one time. You're trained for that field.
Sir,
if
were
you don't want to do it, then you don't do it.
Were you an officer, sir?
No, I was a sergeant.
Okay.
I have a silver star, 2 bronze stars, and 4 purple hearts.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not.
Man, you got shot and everything?
Yeah,
yes.
You got shot. That you get a purple heart for.
Well, what if I was standing
at
the door?
That's why I take so much offense to this. Because
wait a minute. What if I was
I was there. I served. I didn't want to jump out of a plane. I didn't want to go out there.
Well, then why'd
but
you
I did
do it?
Because that's what I was trained for, and that's what I went to do.
Wait a minute. What if they trained you to, like, bend over in the shower? You're not going to do it.
Wait a second, man. He said that he swallowed his fears of jumping and overcame that.
Well, just because a guy's trained to grab a jar of Vaseline.
Wait, why are you doing that and comparing that to this?
Well, no, I don't mean that. If I was at the door of the plane and I didn't want to jump, would you push me?
You doggone right, I'd push you. I'd kick you so hard you'd tumble 15 times before you hit the ground.
Okay, see, that's what I'm talking about. That's why I want to back away and say, okay, sir, I...
Now, what you need to do is find a different field to go into.
Wouldn't
because
that be...
if you're not willing to take what it's all boiled down to,
yes,
and what you're trained to do, then you don't need to be in it.
Okay, at this time, though, I have to point out, if I'm at the door of that plane and I say, okay, I want to just sit this one out and think about it, and you kicked me out, that'd be murder.
No, it wouldn't. You're hooked up to a static line. Your chute's going to open.
Your chute's going to open.
Oh, no. Wait a second. What if I got shot on the way?
Will you listen to what the man is saying? He's a combat veteran. He's what's the 82nd? Just as good as the 101st. Okay?
Well, they wasn't at Bastogne.
Neither were you, man. Okay? Now you go down, and the enemy shoots at you. If he gets you, he gets you.
What if I landed in the ocean?
Are you an idiot?
You know, if a frog had wings, he wouldn't bump his butt every time he jumped. Okay?
What?
If a frog had wings, he wouldn't bump his ass every time he jumped. Excuse me, his butt every time he jumped.
I don't get it.
If
Yes, sir.
If rocks was candy and nuts, what a wonderful Christmas we'd have. If I had $1 million, I could retire. Ifs don't mean anything. You need to get in the real world.
Well, this is the real world.
No, you're living in a fantasy world.
Hey, Sergeant, I'm sitting this one out. You guys go ahead.
And I'll go back and make soup and make the... Oh, man.
Okay, you guys are laughing at me, and I'm ready to eat my guts for my country.
No, you're not.
No, you aren't, man. You said you were ready to eat your guts sometimes. Well, listen, Bob, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Were you in the 101st?
He said the 82nd, about a million times.
The 82nd and the 5th Special Forces, both airborne units. I made 182 jumps.
Where? Into the ocean?
On the freaking combat field, the field
you
of...
You don't jump over an ocean.
I don't understand.
Why would you jump into an ocean?
If you're with the Navy.
Are you with the Navy?
No, sir.
Okay. Then why would you jump into an ocean?
Well, what if there was a high wind?
Okay. All right. I'm done with this kid. He's a moron. He's a freaking moron. His old man
Exactly.
His old man sent him to a military academy to get rid of him.
Exactly.
And to try to teach him something, you know. But there's only so much you can do with an idiot.
Exactly.
If there was a high wind. Okay,
yeah.
Bob, wait a minute, hold on for a minute. What?
I don't like being hung up on, sir, because I want to go to Iraq and bring bin Laden's head out of a cave on a stick. Hello?
Get out of here, kid. Thanks very much, Bob. But get this kid out of here. All I'm hearing is his freaking cafeteria noise.
He's still on the line.
Get him out of here.
I'm listening to see if you're going to say anything bad about me.
Goodbye. 1-800-449-8686.
There, I fought my way off a hold. I'm a hell of a 101st Airborne Trooper.
Go make a bunk. Go make some soup. Hey. U.S. Army, I got a kid here who can fight his way off of a hold button, man. I think you could use a cat like that, like, for instance, if you were calling bin Laden. All right, 1-800, and bin Laden put the kid on hold. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
My name's
Ted
Bell.
And I really don't care to know what this gentleman's name is.
I'm Ted Bell.
His son deserves to be punished the fullest extent of the law. He deserves no special favors, any way, shape, or form. I live in this state. I am totally ashamed to even have you be in the same state that
I
live in.
Well, you're totally getting it wrong.
How
my son is not a racist.
Even
my
insinuate
son was
and
kicks.
Imply that the Beverly Hills Police Department owes
and
you or
that,
your
that,
son anything is beyond me. You don't deserve
do
anything.
Get nuts about?
You are an absolute moron.
Let me jump in here.
A moron.
Laura.
And I am not going to let you say anything.
This is Phil Hendry. I'm the host of the show.
Well, she doesn't know the difference between your voice or
don't
mine.
No, I'm the host. Hold on. I'm the host. I'm the host talking.
I'm sorry.
Hold on.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
She thinks you sound just like me.
That's
all right.
So
she's
upset.
Hold on, Laura. I want to say this. Ted, do you agree that your son, by spray painting swastikas, it could have been read by a lot of people as a very hateful thing?
A lot of nervous people might take it that way, yeah.
A lot of nervous people.
A lot of you are nervous now. A lot of the older people, like this lady, senior citizens. But what I'm trying to say is this.
I am not a senior citizen, sir. I am not a senior citizen. I'm probably a hell of a lot younger than you are.
All right, Laura, hold
the
line.
I have
Phil
a
Henry.
Lot more brains than you
right,
do.
Right, Laura, hold on. We're
going
to take a break, but I want you to hold on because you've got a lot to say.
Oh, boy.
Will you hold on?
Yes, I will.
All right, Laura, hold the line, and we'll be right back here on the Phil Henry Show. We clear? Get Ted on the line, please. Ted?
Yeah, Bill.
I want you to have a little more respect for my callers.
Well, this old bag that you got on right now.
But what I'm asking you to do, how much time? 30 seconds?
We're going to close early tonight, Candy. The old bag that you got on right now is...
The lady is not... first of all,
coming
she's
back,
trying
Bill.
To make a... We got to come back, okay?
Well, but get rid of her. Let's get some young... I think what you need to do in your program is get some young chicks, not some old bag.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Go ahead, Laura, you're back on.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm not an old bag. In fact, I'm probably a lot younger than this gentleman. And I can at least give him some respect.
Who called you an old bag?
Wait, what's his name again? Let's see, they only said it 600 times. Mr. Ted Bao.
Well,
you know what? I hope that a lot of people
Ted
in California will be listening to this. And not even visit his steakhouse, because everyone that I know, and I live on the Central Coast.
Laura,
no
well, you're not going to be getting down to Beverly Hills anytime soon. And I can tell you this, once you slip a piece of Ted's of Beverly Hills
oh,
juicy
no, I'll
steak
never slip anything
in between your
his.
Lips.
No, never. Never will I eat at your restaurant. You know, we're losing the point here. Because,
right, and
see,
the point is that I'm Ted Bell, and that I was going to give
your
some bulletproof, and I may still give bulletproof vests,
your son
vests but I'm getting pissed
crime.
Off.
Yes,
your son
committed a crime.
Committed a crime. You do
can you
not
repeat that, please?
Any special favors
right.
whatsoever
well, Laura,
because your son committed a crime.
You live on the Central Coast. What you guys got up there for a steakhouse?
You know what?
What are we talking about? Outback? I'm talking about
it doesn't
some of the juiciest
have anything to do with this. Your
all
son
right.
committed a crime.
Very
your
good point. And, Ted, you need
to
teach this kid.
To the fullest
she doesn't. She thinks it's me talking, not you.
He doesn't right. deserve any favors.
All right, Laura, thank you. I would say, Ted, that you need to get that boy under control.
Well, what if I could get Beverly Hills to drop the charge because I'm Ted Bell?
Well, then good for you.
All right, I'll try that first, then I'll try being a father second. How about that?
In World War II. Now, there's a lot of younger people listening to the show, and they don't even know what Bastogne was. This is a story worth telling. I'm going to tell you. Because I just watched a thing on TV about it, and I'm going to tell you about it. I don't care if there's people who are too stupid to understand it. And, you know, is it like a history lesson? No, man. Here's the story. Bastogne was encircled by the Germans. In the middle of the town of Bastogne was the 101st Airborne. They'd been sent there to keep the Germans back. The Germans had launched this enormous assault at the end of the war. They knew it was the end for Germany. They were trying to get one last big push going. It was called the Battle of the Bulge. When they busted out, they encircled the town of Bastogne. They couldn't take the town. You want to know why? Because the 101st Airborne was in there. And these guys, with Germans all around them, held out. They would move their artillery from one part of the town to the next and fool the Germans into thinking they had more artillery. And the Germans were so stupid, if they'd attacked from all sides at once, they probably would have taken the town. But they would strike in one place, then pull back, strike another, and the 101st would move the artillery around. The Germans demanded their surrender. They actually came with a blindfolded trooper, a German soldier, demanding the surrender of the 101st. And the commander was a guy by the name of General McAuliffe, who sent back a very famous note. It said to the German commander from the American commander, request that we surrender, nuts, which was a term they used in those days that meant drop dead.